afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. America, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 18th of December, Anno Domini 2010, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff to lose, nothing to choose, something or other. I don't even know. I'm very confused today because we are not in the studio today. We are live at Sam's Club in Greece, and we're just having a wonderful time here. You'll probably hear noises in the background. We're having
speakers
fun
and everything
watching
going
the
on.
Shoppers today and waving and saying hi to either people who recognize us or just have some unusual habit of waving at people with microphones. I don't know, but one way or the other, that's what we're doing here at Sam's Club today.
We got to get over to the bakery. Maybe we can head over to the bakery, or the bakery can come over to us.
That's a possibility. You never know what's going to happen here.
Hey, you never know. I mean, there is a lot of stuff going on here right now.
At any rate, we will not be taking your phone calls today, I'm afraid. We will be. That's unbelievable, isn't it?
We have fans, faces for radio.
Our fans are here. We will not be taking. Hi, this is radio, so waving doesn't help. But we will be taking questions live, but we can't take them over the phone today, I'm afraid. So don't bother to call in. But we are here, and let's start with the news. At next month's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, and I really want to go to that, but I probably won't. Microsoft will demonstrate a number. Unbelievable, isn't it? We should be there as reporters.
Yes.
Microsoft will
demonstrate. Yeah, he's just shaking his head like a bobble doll.
Well, he's basically saying, yeah, that'll happen. At next month's Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas, Microsoft will demonstrate a number of new Windows Run tablets and possibly even an early version of the next generation Windows 8 operating system. During his keynote on Wednesday, January 5th, Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer will unveil tablets from Samsung and Dell and other vendors that run on Windows, the New York Times reported, citing unnamed sources. The newspaper also suggested that Ballmer's presentation will offer a glimpse of Windows 8 running on tablets. The presentation will be one many industry observers are waiting for. Microsoft has fallen behind in the rapidly growing tablet market, where Apple dominates and Google's Android operating system is being harnessed by an increasing number of system builders. Research firm Gartner has estimated that 54.8 million tablets will be purchased in 2011. During his 2010 keynote, Ballmer also promised that Windows-based tablets, otherwise called slates, would be released within the year, though none subsequently appeared. Part of the blame for Microsoft's inability to penetrate the emerging market is being placed on Windows 7, which critics note contains too many small buttons and controls to work easily as a touch-based interface, which is why it works so very well on your phone. The next version of Windows now in development, Windows 8, will supposedly address the tablet market, though industry observers suggest that it may be too early in development to be ready even for a limited demonstration. Early unconfirmed reports indicate that Windows 8 may be ready for release by 2012. The Times reports that the Samsung device will be approximately the same size as the Apple iPad, though it will be thicker and include a slide-out keyboard. This unit, because you can't run Windows without a keyboard. I don't care what anybody tells you. This unit will run a version of Windows 7 that will have a layered touch-based interface that will appear when the keyboard is hidden. Ballmer's Windows tablets will not be the first to be demonstrated. Last month, Acer unveiled a number of Windows 7 tablets that it plans to start selling in February. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Windows 8 on a tablet. And your choices are, wow, I can't wait. Windows 8 on a PC should be fun, though. Yawn, and will there be fart apps? So far, we've got somewhere in the vicinity of 40. In fact, we have exactly 40 votes. Yawn is winning by far at this point. But we know that you'll have more to say about that. So when you're done making your choice on the poll, take a look at the little yellow box underneath the poll. Click on the link that says, give us your opinion. It will take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
And ding. Thank you.
There it is.
Dang! Linda!
She didn't fail me yet.
Nope, she never will. And you will be able to put in your opinion. So far, we've got a half a dozen of those, and most of them don't really seem all that complimentary about the idea of Windows 8 in general, much less on a tablet. When you're done with that, come on back to the Soundbites webpage and read the very special announcement on the front of the page. If you're on Facebook, check out the Soundbites fan page and read the very special announcement there. And for those of you who are here at Sam's Club, you aren't going to see those things because, well, they do actually have free Wi-Fi here.
Yeah.
Which is really very nice because that's how I'm linked up. One of the cool things is we do have the folks at Sam's Club have been kind enough, if you want them, they have free one-day passes for today only for people to have fun. So that's kind of nice.
One thing I got to do is I got to say a special shout-out to Seamus, a new listener, young person is listening to Jazz 90.1 for the first time. And I also want to remind folks, you've got today and tomorrow. Rob has actually gone very loony in that he's put together a whole stocking full of jazz. And you can go to the Jazz 90.1 website and fill out the information. From there, get an email to us with your name, address, phone number, and reasons why you think you should win this stocking full of jazz. He has literally loaded it right on up, folks. If you don't want to get into the email type of stuff, you can fill out a postcard. The address is right there on the website that you address it to, Jazz 90.1. Put your name, address, same information, and why you should be in on this drawing. He will be giving it away Christmas Eve at 9 o'clock. So you got plenty of time to still get that postcard in. So please, we want to remind you now, if you want to get in on a great stocking full of jazz, get it to us.
This is one of the few times this is the only time I've regretted being a member of the Jazz 90.1 family because I'm not eligible to enter that drawing. It's going to be astonishing. It really is. So please feel free to come on down and join us. We cannot take phone calls today, so we have.
Do you have the chat window open? You want to maybe they'll ask some actual questions in the chat.
Yeah, that's very rare. The folks in the chat have their own little life going on the IRC channel. They rarely have anything to say about what we're talking about. So I don't generally pay a lot of attention to it, since suddenly I'm carrying on two conversations, the one with all you folks out there and the one on the IRC chat, and I'm not young enough to be able to do that well anymore. But if you want to send us questions on hi, how are you?
Yeah. I mean, there's still a lot of great deals out there right now. I mean, like always, the one, you know, if you're looking for another great gift to give somebody, you know, and be inexpensive, the flash drives. Of course, like we were discussing last week, I personally like the USB ones that have the SD cards in them. And again, to repeat myself from last week, the SD cards you can literally lock down. And I had a client come in. And,
congratulations.
That had an infected flash drive.
Yep, it happens.
And he goes, well, how'd that get in there? I says, where is the lock on this? He goes, what do you mean? I pulled out an old 3.5-inch floppy. I says, just like this. You sit there and you could lock it. I says, then I pulled out my flash drive. I says, versus if you use something like this. Yeah, he had 2 Trojans and 1 virus on the thing. He had to clean that off because he wanted us to move some of the stuff, burn it off the CD.
Right.
But before we did it, the minute we put it in, my machines always scanned
it. Alarm bells
and it
came off. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Avast, warning, Will. Warning, danger.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah. So we cleaned it up for him. He goes, does that mean I've got it on my computer at home? I go, where did this flash drive get loaded from? Home. I go,
dun,
there you go.
Dun, dun, dun.
He goes, dun. My son was loading some stuff. Normally, I don't let him use it. I says, you want to check your son's computer, too.
All it takes is once.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
And it'll
get
passed from one to the other to the other. And if you don't clean it, it's going to just keep getting reinfected. Because that's what happened to another client. They were only cleaning his. And throughout his whole network, he was grabbing files from some of his kids' stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And
it
again,
happens.
There it was getting reinfected. And you're never going to get rid of it.
It happens. I actually, at home, have 2 networks set up. There's the network for my family, and then there's the network for visitors.
Okay.
And they're separate.
Okay.
You can come to my house and log in if I let you, and I change that password regularly. And when that happens, you're on a completely separate network. So if you've got a virus, I don't get it.
Good.
I just realized something. I'd better have a rum ball now.
Yes.
So that I'll be sober again by 2 o'clock when it's time to drive.
No guarantee.
Yeah.
It's a bottle of rum in each ball, right?
That's about right, actually.
Well, let's say I was a little under the weather when I made it, so the bottle did slip on the downpour.
It was 2 ounces of rum, not 2 quarts.
Oh, man, I always get those mixed up. Yeah. It's that imperial versus.
Now is it a fluid ounce or an ounce? What's a non-fluid ounce?
I don't know.
The weight of an ounce? Or
an avoirdupois ounce?
Well, yeah, that's the weight of an ounce or the fluid of an ounce.
Who knows?
The volume of an ounce.
This is much more a hockey puck than it is a ball, but I don't care.
And they must have got sat on the way here.
I still don't care. There's enough rum in here to kill anything. All right. That's good.
This is definitely radio, folks.
That's good.
See, I got to remember to mute the recording during the breaks. Yeah. So I'm recording this from the board, not from the air. So,
right.
So the mics are live during breaks.
That's dangerous. We've always said the best show is in between. So you're not going to get over the air. You're only going to get that right here. Excellent rum balls.
Thank you.
Absolutely exceptional rum balls. Ladies, how are you? All right, we have a question. We have a question, Klaus, from Brighton, Ontario. I did not know there was an Ontario in Brighton. Writes, using Windows 7, does the virtual XP mode require updating from Microsoft if you don't access the internet? Thanks kindly. And that's exactly right. We're talking. And the answer is, well, no. It's not real XP. They call it virtual XP mode, but it's really nothing at all XP.
Quasimodo.
And there's no actual XP in it. So it does not require update. If you don't go to the internet, nothing requires updating. But
except if you have a flash drive.
Right, right. You should always update. Yep. You should at least go online long enough to update.
Well, it's just faking it out. It's just lying to the internet.
Yeah, when a program says, am I running XP, the operating system says yes.
Right, but it's not real XP. But even so, you should be protecting the entire operating system because that's what protects XP mode.
Remember when we used to have to put that into a whole file?
Yep.
To create a file. To pretend that it's this version and this version and this version and this version of DOS.
Yep.
Setver.
Yes. Now it apparently will answer back whatever it thinks you need to hear.
Well, in a lot of the programs, you can just install the program, and if it's incompatible, quite often you can right click on it and go into the properties, and there is a compatibility mode tab there. That if a program really wants XP, or I've even done it for Windows, ready for this? 3.1.
Oh, heavens to Murgatroyd.
3.1. Well, they had an old database that they needed to run.
Yep. They don't run on almost anything
else. He says, you sure we're going to be able to do this? I loaded it up, told it to fake it out, pretend it was the old, and it worked fine.
Can I chime in?
No.
No.
All right. Well, listen,
ladies and gentlemen,
remember.
Rob Linton.
We really want him on?
Easy. All right, so we just launched something cool yesterday, and I just thought of it. I don't know why I didn't think of this earlier. You guys are going to be off next weekend for the holiday, but the next time you're on, people will actually have the ability to text their questions to you.
I saw that. Are you
using
Google Voice?
Yep.
I am
it's
very
using
impressed.
Google Voice. People, we've actually got a phone number that you can text directly, or you can call the phone number if you want.
We're going to post that on our website.
But people will be able to text in their questions and actually carry on a conversation with y'all in the studio via text. So that'll be starting. We're launching that on Monday, so the next time you guys are on... Well, 2 weeks from now.
I was actually going to talk to you about doing that because it is so cool.
Yeah, January 8th. It's really, really neat. A lot of people we know, don't necessarily like calling in, so they can actually text their questions. And in the process, of course, you can listen to the show live from your smartphones as well. So we wanted to let people know about that. For more info, you can check out our website, jazz901.org, for the phone number. And we're really excited about that.
I can't imagine that you wouldn't be. It's a great... Google Voice does some amazing things.
It does. It does. And, if you have a chance to check out Google Voice, you can choose your own phone number.
Yep.
We were lucky enough to find a 9010 within the 585 area code,
cool.
So we were able to do that. It's out of Cuba.
209-9010, I believe it is.
Yeah, Cuba, New York.
Yeah.
Where's that?
I don't know. My phone number, my Google phone number is in Angelica, New York.
Angelica,
New York. It's 585 area code, and the actual number is I'm Nick F.
Well, Cuba's
down in the southern tier. They have really, really good cheese. We go there all the time for cheese.
In Cuba?
Yeah, in
Yeah,
Cuba.
They really do.
Really good.
Yeah,
yeah.
I still don't know where Angelica
well, see, our,
is.
Now, see, I was lucky with Cider. Our Google Voice is in Batavia, so at least people know where that is.
Yeah, right, right.
And we got 2102 Mac.
Nice.
Yeah, I was trying for some really cool numbers, and like anything else, of course, all the good ones are taken, but we were able to get the 9010, so it's
That's nice.
You know, so you can semi-remember it. And so, yeah, we're very excited about that. And, of course, during the week, people can text in their song requests. They can chat with the DJs as well. So definitely be looking for that to launch starting on Monday and then a couple of weeks from now for you guys as well.
Cool.
Don't do it now.
No, I'm not going to, but I'm looking, I'm looking at the... at the dial pad,
kind of neat. Yeah.
BOX 209 BOX
box
or COY.
Think outside of the box. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, that's it. We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. We're at Sam's Club today, and we'll be back with a whole lot more sound bites on the member supported Jazz 90.1.
Need Chris to bring us. Go.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites. You know, it's quite a coup for you guys to have Jan on in the mornings. I think that's great.
And we should remind folks, we are at Sam's Club.
In Greece, New York. We're live, sitting here staring out at the folks. Waving
for at least
them.
The next hour and a half.
Waving back. And we're eating rum balls. This one's starting to hit me. Good rum balls this year.
You like those?
Good rum balls. All right.
Like I told you, you know, I was sitting there half under with the flu, and the hand got a little.
Well,
got a
you know what?
Heavy,
you should make them sick every year.
Okay. I'll remember
All
that.
All right.
That's sick, man.
All right. Here we are. More music is playing. That's great. All right. Here we go. Despite ongoing...
Oh, that means... You know what that meant?
We're letting time
see
for a break.
No, that light's going now. Yeah, right. If you go 10 seconds off
yeah,
the air...
Yeah, we were too quiet there for a minute.
We were too quiet, and all of a sudden that light...
That was never 10 seconds just now.
Yes, it was.
No, yeah. It wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. All right, despite...
10 seconds of my spare time.
Despite ongoing speculation that Android 3.0 is imminent, it looks like the next release of the mobile operating system, dubbed Honeycomb, will be version 2.4. That's according to a report this week on Android and Me. No, I'm done. Thank you. No, I've had enough caffeine today. Trust me, I've had enough caffeine today. That's according to a report this week on Android and Me, which cites a developer source who's working on third-party software for multiple versions of Android. The new tablet-friendly version is expected to be released about the time of Mobile World Congress in February, according to the source. Google Vice President of Engineering and Engineering Andy Rubin, showed off the upcoming Honeycomb version on a prototype Motorola tablet on the same day that Google released the Gingerbread version of the software earlier this month. Also wisely expected to bear the 3.0 version number, Gingerbread turned out to be version 2.3 instead. Few details about Honeycomb were divulged at the time of Rubin's demonstration, but he did confirm that, unlike previous versions of Android, Honeycomb would be optimized for both tablets and smartphones. Google has said in the past that other versions of Android are not really tablet-ready and will not properly run applications downloaded from the Android app market. Still undisclosed by Rubin, however, was any specific time frame for Honeycomb's expected release next year. Now, with an expected February launch, it looks like Honeycomb will be a less significant update than has been anticipated. For whatever reason, it sounds like Google is holding version 3.0 for something special. Android and Me's Taylor Wimberly wrote, "You would think they would throw 3.0 out there to make a statement when the first Honeycomb tablets launch, but I guess like most Google launches, these will be sort of beta with some new features still missing." What on Google isn't beta?
It's exactly. Always beta.
Google Wave came out of beta, and no one liked it, and it died.
Right, right.
It was one of those things that wasn't in beta for 10 years.
Buzz is still out there.
Yep.
Android versions tend to come out every 6 months with dessert-focused names. The Froyo version, which was a frozen yogurt, launched earlier this year, added enterprise-focused features such including IT password enforcement and remote wipe, while Gingerbread adds communication capabilities such as near-field communications reader and SIP-based VoIP calling. Still to come are Ice Cream and Jelly Bean, either of which could potentially take the 3.0 spot. It's conceivable Google might bestow the 3.0 crown on one of those at the big Google I.O. conference in May. Linux-based Android now holds third place in U.S. mobile operating system market share, according to ComScore, with 24% of the market in October. Are you holding out for an Android tablet, either of you? Probably Steve isn't. I suspect he's not.
I'm already running Unix. I don't need Android, too.
That's right. That's right.
Someone hacked the iOS so that you can dual boot your iPhone.
Nice.
If you want to.
I actually got to put my hands on, but not play with for very long, a Nook Color that had been rooted and was now running Android 2.1. It is so flippin' cool. It's a pure Android tablet for $250.
Well, I was thinking of getting into like, a little netbook.
Yeah,
I've got the regular laptop, but something like yours.
I love my netbook.
The little netbook would be kind of handy just to have for those other situations when you want something not as bulky, and I just wanted to quick look something up on the internet or something like that. It's easy to carry around.
Now, one thing is Apple. I keep saying Apple because I'm looking over at Steve's Apple over your shoulder. Google is coming out with their own laptop called the CR48. It's going to be Chrome OS based.
That's what I heard.
And it'll have very little or essentially no storage of its own because it does everything, Google Docs, Google Voice, Google Mail, Google everything. So it's going to be really light and have a pretty decent battery life, and you should be able to just turn it on. As long as you've got a network connection, you can do whatever you want to do.
Sweet.
Didn't the guy that wrote Chrome OS say this week it'll probably get merged into Android and disappear?
Eventually it will, yes. That's what they're expecting, is the two will somehow merge, whichever one, whatever they call it.
Right.
Chrome Droid. The big thing is right now I can do all of that. I can edit Google Docs on my phone. I can do Google Mail on my phone. I can do all of that right now with my phone. But what I can't do is do it on a larger screen. Now, what's the difference between Google Chrome and an Android tablet? Well, very little, except that Google Chrome doesn't do the apps. So you're right. I think in the long run, the features of Google Chrome will merge into the Android and the other.
That was one of the confusions early on, is that Google already had Chrome when they announced they were making this Android OS. Well, you've already got Chrome. What are you doing another OS for?
Because Chrome is too big to fit in a phone.
So optimize Chrome, or I guess optimizing Chrome would be a new OS.
Well, just take all they really have to do is take the features of Chrome that aren't in the Android OS, and you magically have
Chrome Lite,
Chrome Droid.
See, I wonder how much they're paying Lucas
Androm
for Droid.
A lot.
Yeah.
Actually, on DroidLust.com, one of the earlier posts is about is it going to be Chrome, Droid, Drome, Andros.
Videodrome.
Thunderdrome. Don't know, I'm right.
Ooh,
that's a whole other story.
Beyond the Thunderdrome?
Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
One thing I wanted to say off the side here, because we won't be on the air next week, and it kind of brings it to mind, because only right now, my nephew is on his way back from Afghanistan.
God bless
him. As I speak. And, he just became a father. My brother is now a grandfather, became a grandfather on Wednesday to a very happy and healthy young lady, baby girl.
Good.
So, but I want to put a shout out to all those veterans and the folks that are serving right now. I mean, I know some of you folks are giving up a lot, and you're away from your families, and it's kind of tough. I saw that with just my nephew, being away during Thanksgiving and all that, and Christmas has to be that much, harder. And we just like to say, we really do appreciate, your sacrifice.
In addition to our gratitude for putting yourselves in harm's way for our freedom and safety, we know how difficult this time of year is for you.
And it is, especially around Christmas. You're not there home and, being able to open up presents and do your normal traditional stuff. So, again, we thank you. We can't thank you enough for your dedication and your service and putting your lives out there.
It's great. You probably heard in the background another one of our fans screaming and yelling.
Yep. Saying hello to us.
The guys over in the IRC chat actually
came up with a question.
They have a question. And first Bag of Hurt asked, does anyone know the model of Nick's netbook? I do. And I did put Linux on it anyway, but what I have is a Lenovo S10e. It's got a gig and a half of RAM on it, 160 gig hard drive, 1.6 gigahertz Atom processor, and I put Ubuntu on it. It runs like blazes. I'm very impressed.
Well, that's one thing. Matter of fact, my sister was calling because she wanted to not my sister, my daughter called because she wanted to get one of the netbooks. And she's going, well, Dad, they're all over the map. I go, yes, and it's just like a regular computer. Depending on what you're going to get in it, it's going to determine your price. That's if you want more RAM, the speed, the processor, everything else.
Well, half a gig of RAM actually would have run Linux fairly well. But a gig and a half of RAM runs it a lot better. And I had Windows on it. I had Windows XP, and then I had Windows 7. Mm-hmm. XP ran, and I actually had Vista on it as well in progression, just to see how it ran. Mm-hmm. XP ran okay. Vista, are you sitting down? Was a dog. 7 runs pretty well on it, but none of it runs as well as Linux, so I put Linux back on it. And then our Chandra said, I have 2 SD cards. Both of them have lock slide switches. Neither of them has any effect. I can insert them into a Targus USB multi-card reader, including SD, and write to them regardless of the lever position. Yes. Yes, you can, and here's why. Beyond just the switch, the reader has to pay attention to the switch, has to honor the switch position. Now, I know that in my netbook, mm-hmm. if I stick an SD card in that is locked, I cannot read it.
Correct.
Because it is locked. But I have seen, it wasn't a Targus multi-card reader, it was a different brand. But I have noticed that if you get, that I had one of those and it did not, in fact, honor the position of the switch. So you have to be very careful of that as well.
Yeah.
And when you get one of those, you should always test it first. Absolutely. That's the difference there.
Yep. And, you know, again, but at least they're checking it and double-checking it because, you know, like I said, we have gotten so complacent, you know, to just, oh, no worry, just put the USB card reader, you know, the USB jump drive in to a machine and not think about it.
Right. I don't mind doing it because, A, I am running...
You're running Unix.
I'm running Linux, so it doesn't matter. And aren't you a generous and wonderful
Ooh.
Human being? The lovely Rob Linton actually bought us some muffins. Very nice. Little chocolate muffins. We're very excited. So now I've had too much caffeine and rum,
and
now I'm going to have chocolate and sugar. Excellent.
You are going to be on a big high tonight.
The second half of this show is we're going to pack a lot of information into the next hour. I'll tell you that right now. We cannot take your calls today. Unfortunately, we are live at Sam's Club and therefore have no phone system thing going on here. But we're waving to all our fans who are raptly attentive to what we're doing. So that's pretty neat, and it is pretty amazing here. We're near the pharmacy. I'm not entirely certain why they did that. I would have thought
the good drugs are
there. Goes pizza.
That's my point. Exactly. Yeah, people are going by the pizza.
Great.
Thank
you.
That's what we like to hear. Thank you so much.
Want a rumble?
Lady just came by and said this is her favorite station. And it's everybody's
We'll bribe her with a rumble.
Really? You want a rumble? You want a rumble?
Celebrate the holiday spirit.
I don't think so.
Seriously, you don't know what you're missing. They're delish. You can have... Please,
there's a lot of rum and very little ball in it.
Take a window sticker.
Yeah. Got our car clings. All right.
So, you can have a window sticker.
Sufficient quantity.
He doesn't know.
I don't.
He's embarrassed now. He does not know how much rum is in those rum balls. He was not at 100% when he was pouring.
And it's 150 proof Antigua rum. Don't light any matches.
Come to the islands, Mon.
Really?
Another
90.1 FM. Here's another fan. Welcome. Have a rumble. Grab a window sticker. You're probably already Sam's members, but we have they've kindly arranged 1-day passes for those who are not.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be used as gifts. They're good through January 31st, 2011.
We all love Mose Allison.
You know he sings one song, "My Brain." It's an old tape.
Yeah.
The music is from a Little Walter in My Brain.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks, guys.
Our pleasure.
You're welcome.
Enjoy
Thank
it.
You.
Enjoy it. Sorry, we were just chit-chatting with one of our many fans.
Yep.
Delighted
to see
Because
we are live
fans.
Here at the Sands Club in Greece.
Right. The one in Greece. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we're way over to the right in the far right corner. Well, the near right corner, actually. Ooh. The far right corner is down there from the door. That's right. We're in the near right corner, I guess. Pretty nice. The place is very busy, as you can well imagine.
What's on your wish list for Christmas as far as computer stuff?
Oh, I'll tell you what I need, and you can. I have sitting at home, which I won in a contest.
Mm-hmm.
I won an i7 processor and the motherboard that goes with it.
Okay.
So now I need a case and RAM and a hard drive and a power supply.
Yep.
And I figured I'd wait till after Christmas.
Okay.
And chit-chat with you about that. But I'm building a new machine. I can't
All
wait.
All right, yeah. We'll set you up and get you a decent graphics card.
Yep.
We'll load it up with at least 8 gig of memory.
At least. And then I have to decide, hi, how are you? Good rumble.
Good.
Do I want to put Linux
on another rumble.
It, or do I want to put a hypervisor on it and run Linux as a virtual machine? And then I can run Windows as a virtual machine.
That's possible.
And et cetera, et cetera. So we'll see how that goes.
Well, you could try one, and then if you don't, erase it and redo it.
Yep,
or just stick another drive in it.
Well, my hope is that I'll be able to afford 2 1-gig hard drives.
Probably. What? They're going for about a buck.
You mean
on
terabyte
eBay.
Drives?
Right. I meant, what did I say?
Yeah.
I have Enright disease.
Yeah.
Where I go down one.
Yeah, one unit.
Unit for every hard drive. Yeah, a couple of gig drives, one for the operating system and essentially all kinds of other, you know, not backup as such, but you can do backup.
At least I got
drives.
Rid of the disease.
Right, and the other one just for all the stuff I put on. That music means we're going to take another break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour right here at Sam's Club in Greece, and we'll be back to bring you a whole lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Thank you very much.
Okay, everybody. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. We have our fans lining up here. Want to say hello?
You are good.
Season's greetings.
Very nice.
Dave Heimberger.
Hi, Dave.
You guys are great.
Thank you very much.
We love to hear that. Thank you very much.
We are live here at Sam's Club in
Greece. Live here.
Quite a crowd. You know what I mean?
I know. It's shopping time, and we're better than at Sam's Club.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Quite a variety.
Absolutely. We're having a great time here. Let's read another news item. Oh, Freescale. The people who make, pretty much every ARM-based processor that's in pretty much every cell phone in America these days. Freescale will display 23 tablet computers at the International Consumer Electronics Show. It's more CES news. Rubbing in the fact that Rob's not sending us there.
We should go.
In Las Vegas next month. And 11 of them are already on sale ahead of Christmas, according to an executive from the company. The tablets all use ARM-based processors from Freescale's i.MX family of chips. And many of them run Google's Android mobile software, said Glenn Burchers, head of marketing at Freescale's consumer chip division. Among the 11 tablets already on sale around the world, 10 are Android devices, and one runs Microsoft Windows CE. Burchers declined to name the devices, but Freescale's website shows one is the 7-inch Android tablet from Hewlett-Packard that comes with a printer, no less, because the first thing you want to do is print.
That's a cool idea.
HP, what else are they going to connect to it? While Universal Microelectronics of Taiwan lists a Freescale chip inside its Android-based MP202 tablet, as does Mastone or Mast1, I don't know, communication, and electrical development for its Android-based A800 and A801 life pads. Other reports say Sharp's new Galapagos e-readers, both the 5.5. Now, see, 5.5-inch strikes me as a little too small. And 10.8-inch versions have Freescale chips inside, as does Technicolor's MediaTouch 2.0 Android tablet. Many of the tablets were built by systems designers in China. We focused on the China market, and that's both within country support and with the price point, said Burchers. Reference designs are also very important to Chinese makers, he said. And Freescale makes a very complete reference design based around Android. Then the company offers a lot of engineering support via a roughly 200 software engineers and employees in China. Software is the most difficult part of getting a product to market, he said. Companies often need to help to troubleshoot issues with Android or software applications they want on their devices, so Freescale offers help in these areas. Most of the China-made tablets are priced at around $200 to $250 US. Actually, of course, $199 to $249, but you folks out there are too smart to be taken in by that. You know that's really $200 to $250. As more tablet devices enter the market and manufacturing volume increases, these prices will come down. I'm looking for that $50 to $75 Android tablet that actually does everything I want it to do.
I was watching This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte, and he was showing off a $99 Android tablet. I think it had a 4.7-inch screen.
I've played with one that came. It was the one I played with, thanks to the generosity of one of our faculty members at the Rochester Institute of Technology, was not what I would call ready for consumption.
But it was $99.
But it was a $99 tablet. It was very slow, not very responsive in the touch screen, too little RAM, a very old version of it was 1.6, Android 1.6. Everything about it was pirated. Everything about it was pirated.
Oh,
but it was, you know, $99. So what are you going to say, right? I mean, that's if you want to spend $99.
Get what you pay for.
It's like you go out and you buy a car for, you know, $200 or a car for $2,000. You expect less with the $200 car. If it gets you through the winter, you do a dance because you won.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like watching the elephant dance. It's not how well it dances. It's the fact that it dances at all.
Dances at all, yeah.
So it booted up and ran Android. How do you beat that, you know? But now, of course, you can get that Nook Color. And my hope is I'm waiting to see what they actually release in January.
Well, like anything else, it just takes a little time, you know?
Well, CES last year, you know, so a year ago, 50-odd tablets were announced. And how many have shipped? Two? The tab?
Well, that's the whole thing. The marketing folks will sit there and do, you know, this advance
to see what
interest is out there. And if the interest is out there, then that quite often, you know, has been either the success or the failure of some good products. Because, you know, if they go strictly by the demand, you know, opinions, and it depends on where these opinions are taken and, you know, what's the odds of you buying this or you buying that, you know, I mean, some good products have gone by the wayside because they turned around and brought them out again and they're all of a sudden a huge success.
Right. And let's not forget that Google has been saying all along that the Android operating system is a phone operating system,
mm-hmm.
not a tablet operating system.
Right.
It won't be until Honeycomb that Google is saying it's really ready for tablets.
Yep.
And the other part of the problem, which is I think the folks at Barnes & Noble are trying to fix that with the Nook Color, they're not giving you access to the underlying operating system yet, and they're never going to give you access to the full market. Because for the non-geeks of the world, they may not understand that an object that says, oh, it needs the phone or it needs the GPS or whatever, isn't going to work on a Nook Color because it doesn't have a phone,
right,
and it doesn't have a GPS. So what they're going to do is bring out their own market with all the apps that actually work on the tablet so that it's a seamless experience for the folks who are not geeks and wouldn't know the difference.
Okay. You know, that's one other thing they've been pushing quite a bit, and, you know, is gaining a lot of popularity because more and more of the books are out there, is like the Kindles and that type of reading devices, because folks find it just so handy, you know, if they want to lay in bed or, you know, just for traveling or anything else. It's slim, you know, and they're affordable, and you can download so many books and everything else and just read it as you go along.
Yep.
And actually, environmentally, it's pretty good, too, because it's saving a number of trees.
Yep. I'll tell you what, we have the E. Philip Saunders College of Business at the Rochester Institute of Technology bought one because we're looking at various uses for it, and Nook Color. And I've been playing with it these last few days, and I'm really kind of angry because it works. In terms of what it does everything terrifically.
And now you have to give it back.
Well, first, I have to give it back. That angers me. But equally importantly, the only place I can't get Wi-Fi to work is in my house. It's really porking.
Your whole house must be made of chicken wire.
Well, it is, but more
importantly,
it's
a lamp and plaster.
I've been looking around and talking to other people about this, and it seems that the Netgear router that I have is unhappy. The Android operating system is unhappy with it. I couldn't do it on my phone either at 2.1, Android 2.1, until I got 2.2. So now I'll just wait and see what the upgrade does in January, because they're upgrading to 2.2, and see if that fixes the problem. Because I really love it. I have to say I love it. I want one. I'm getting one. There's no question of that. I just don't have it yet because it angers me that it doesn't connect to my house. But thank you. Another unsolicited testimonial. Hold on a second. Have a
Rumble.
Have a window sticker.
Yeah, with every Rumble, you get a free window sticker.
Exactly. Yeah. Even if you don't take the Rumble, you get the free windows. Take them. They're sunglasses. Take them. All right.
You're
have fun.
Enjoy.
For all those times we have so much sun here in Rochester.
Yeah, exactly. It's snow glare is where the problem really lies in Rochester. I'm really looking forward to that. As far as an e-reader goes, it's incredible. What I did the other day was I suddenly wised up because, you know, duh. I started up my phone, which has a hotspot application, and I could connect to the hotspot.
Okay.
So I could download all my books. I've now got like a dozen books in that nook that I can read. When I have to give it back, there's actually a single, go down through the menus, and there's a single choice that says, wipe this out. Set it back to normal.
Well,
so it'll
cool.
take away all my books and all the everything else. But all my books will still be in my Barnes & Noble.
Yeah, I would say.
On the web, my little Barnes & Noble space on the web. So when I get my own, or I can read them on my phone app, on the iPod app.
Amazon is running some neat commercials about that.
You buy a book anywhere and put it on your Android.
That's only because
they wrote the app for that device.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. I can't read Kindle books on my Wii.
Right.
Until they write an app for it.
I don't know.
The part that I liked is that a number of my friends are going, notice that the commercial says she had an iPod, an iPhone, and sold it and got an Android phone.
But reading it on your phone, that screen's getting kind of small. I mean,
yeah,
I'm wearing bifocals as it is now.
Yeah, it is.
And then instead of holding, well, like I say, even at least a Kindle, something with a little bit bigger screen. It's not like they're super thick or anything. They're very thin and, you know, very light. Versus going to like my phone my iPod.
That's where I think the 7-inch form factor does a lot better, because it's about the size of a paperback book. Then we're used to reading that. And the iPad
is a lot
easier
to carry around.
Yeah, 10 inches is too big to carry in your pocket unless you have really big pockets.
Right.
But it can also do so many more things. So that's the trade-off. Do you want just a book reader?
Absolutely.
And so get both.
Well, right.
Yeah.
And absolutely, I completely agree that that's the way it works for me. Uh-oh. Are you gambling today? Yeah, there we go. We have people hanging around playing with dice. I don't know what they're doing. Are we going to win?
Roll and win.
Roll the dice and win something. Very nice. Something you can only do in person, not on the radio. Very nice. But I tell you, I have played with an iPad. Again, Saunders bought one, and I played with it for a while. And I've played with the Nook Color. And in terms of almost everything, the Nook Color is better. It's big enough to do. I've done, you know, my Gmail and Google Docs and everything else on it, so I can write and type on it and everything else. But it is small enough to carry around much more easily than the iPad. Simply because it's smaller and therefore much lighter. It's about half the weight, and even, you know, for a guy like me with both arthritis and carpal tunnel, I just can't hold the iPad for that long. It's very clumsy. It's not heavy, but it's clumsy to just grasp that one edge and hold it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I can do that for hours with the Nook Color. And I like the idea of that 7-inch form factor, 7 or 8-inch form factor, much better than I like the 9 or 10-inch form factor.
Yeah, just that little bit makes a big difference.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, how long you'll use it. It's not that you won't use either or, but it's how long you can, like you say, tolerate. And that, I've heard that from a lot of folks.
Yeah, and
it's
how much you want to carry
and holding it.
Where you're going to be going now. You know, if I have to go to the mall with my wife, you know, I'll probably take the Nook along because it's smaller.
And a battery pack?
Yeah, there's that.
You get about 8 hours of reading. And there's 100 times during the day when I'm not actually reading, and I just plug it into the charger. and I'm on my way. You know, I do what I do, and then I can pick it up. Yeah. I read it all night, and I plug it in before I go to bed, and I read it in the morning, and I plug it in before I go to work, and, you know, it works out pretty nicely. Unless, of course, I actually bring it to work. Help! It's a rum balls. Help
try
yourself.
Try one. Try one. No, we won't tell.
It's after five somewhere.
What?
It's after five somewhere.
None of these.
The sun is over the yard arm somewhere. You could have 20 of those, but then you wouldn't be moving for a couple of days.
I was say, she said, you know, 40 of them. And I said, yeah. Not after she tried a couple of mine.
Yeah, exactly right. So we're having fun.
We are live here at the Sam's Club in Greece. Let's see. We got any other questions here?
No, the guys are on the IRC
off on another
chat.
Tangent.
Yeah, no, they're reminding us that you can use the Calibri, which is a software program. But we'll take a question from Bill from Greece, New York. I heard you speaking about email programs. What do you recommend and why? Well, there's three of us, so you'll get at least four opinions.
Well, I personally like Firefox.
Email.
Yeah. I mean Thunderbird, rather. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
There you go.
Mozilla. You know, I mean, Thunderbird is just does a lot better job of filtering out stuff and everything else, especially on an average morning. I can open up my, 6 different email accounts, and I can average, you know, at least a couple thousand emails per account easily. You know, 2,000 to 3,000 per account, because I usually open it up, and it just starts going through it, and it filters out all that other junk.
It amuses me, the people who say, man, I had 50 emails today. 50 emails is a good 7 minutes for me. Yeah. It's a slow 7 minutes for me.
Yeah. But I'll sit there and, you know, start it up. You know, you see it just constantly going through all of them. And, you know, 900 and some on this one. You know, 2,476 on this one. All right. I just go over, get my coffee from the Bean Queen.
Right.
I have my hazelnut coffee in the morning. I go ahead and get that fixed. By the time I come back, which is only a couple, you know, seconds, it's gone through it that fast. I mean, it is a very fast program. It does a good job of filtering out stuff. Yes, like anything else, folks, you've got to train it. None of these are automatically going to just delete junk mail. Some of these, you've got to literally mark them as junk. It's very easy. But once you do it, it builds this whole list. And it will filter them out. You can have it automatically go to the trash. Within Thunderbird, you can say how many days you'd like to automatically delete the trash. So the trash can be emptied the minute you close it. Or if you want to keep it on for, say, another day or so, you can tell it don't empty it until 2 days. So, I mean, there is a lot of flexibility with it, and it's a well-supported program.
Right, and we also have the other nice thing about Thunderbird is that not only can you throw things in the trash, by you know it learns what's junk, but you can also set them immediately into folders. So I get stuff from Dave. Well, Dave's stuff goes in the trash, but if it comes from Rob, I put it in my Jazz 90.1 folder and things like that. Listen, we might as well just take a little break right now. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, all of these wonderful folks. We're at Sam's Club live in Greece, New York, and back in just a couple of minutes with a lot more sound bites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 3 minutes after the hour, we are sound bites.
We are live here at the Sam's Club on Ridge Road West, and I would like to remind folks, you've got today and you've got until tomorrow. And what am I talking about?
No, we never know.
Neither do I sometimes. It's very lonely up in that mind sometimes. But Rob Linton has gone crazy in that he's put together a stocking full of jazz. And you can get into it two ways. You can either email him off of our website. That's jazz901.org. And you can email him with your name, address, phone number, and why you think you should get in on this stocking stuffed full of great jazz CDs, and he's just packed it. Now, if you don't like that type of way of doing things, you can just simply grab the address, which is also on that webpage, where it says about the stocking information, and email or fill out the postcard because he's got until Friday. Friday night, he will be announcing the winner at 9 o'clock. But you just, again, put your name, address, phone number, and why you think, in a few words, get this great stockings stuffed full of jazz. And he has literally packed it. He's gone insane, folks. And I don't think you're going to be disappointed in any way, no matter what type of jazz you like listening to. It's going to be in there. He's got a great variety of stuff in there. I've seen the list, and, you know, going through the library myself, it's like, oh, yeah, like that one. Oh, it's there. So, yeah, you won't be disappointed. So take the time to either email or get that postcard and, you know, get it in the mail, because he will be drawing the picking from it after Monday, going through and reading the different reasons why and folks. And you got to just sort of give him that hook that he's going to want to pick yours. So, but everybody's going to get an equal chance, and, you know, you could be the lucky winner of that stocking full of jazz.
It's a great prize. I'm very impressed.
Yeah, he scares me sometimes.
He scares me all the time. All right, here's our next news item.
Maybe I'm getting used to him.
Every now and then, amidst the endless stream of smash hit physics puzzle games and stylish newsreaders, an app shows up that changes your perspective on how truly useful the iPhone and iPod Touch can be. This week, an app... That app may be Quest Visual's Word Lens. No, this isn't quite a real-life Babelfish, or if you prefer, Babelfish. But Word Lens is a real-time visual text translation utility. The upside, of course, you have nothing slimy to slither into your ear. Mm-hmm. Point your iPod or iPod Touch camera at some printed text in the real world, such as a street sign or a poster, and Word Lens can translate it right on the display. No network connection is needed either, as the translation is performed right on your device. For this launch, WordLens offers two in-app purchase packs for translating between English and Spanish, though more language packs are undoubtedly on the way. You can tinker with WordLens' technology before laying down your money, though. Built-in features include reverse words, which can spell words backwards, and erase words, which is basically a live Photoshopping feature that should come in handy for your favorite image caption communities. Quest Visual also spells out some of WordLens' limitations, which include handwriting and stylized fonts. The app works best on clearly printed text that is held at least one hand length away from your device. Remember also that the fourth generation iPod Touch's camera does not autofocus. That said, this is still a great idea that seems to have been implemented pretty well. We also have to give Quest Visual a couple of bonus points, since WordLens's icon appears to be heavily inspired by the flag of the United Federation of Planets. WordLens is available now in the App Store for free, and it requires an iPhone 3GS, iPhone 4, or fourth generation iPod Touch running iOS, not the one from Cisco, 4.0 or later. Both the Spanish to English and English to Spanish language packs are regularly available for $10 each. Through December 31st, they're on sale for just $5 each. It sounds like a pretty neat toy if you don't actually speak Spanish, but find yourself heading shortly
to Spain
or Mexico.
To like the 60s, you know, when you played music backwards.
I do not remember the 60s. I do not.
You either?
No.
Well, they told me that if you play records backwards, there were satanic messages in it. Will this pick it up? It reads backwards?
See, this is the problem with new technology. Kids today don't have the option to play music backwards easily.
That's true.
We used to have that ability because we had vinyl.
Yep.
None of you kids even know what vinyl is unless you've got siding. And we had...
That's true.
It's true.
Yeah.
And or you're a fetishist, one or the other. But we had vinyl records, and you could play them by hand, and it was you could play them backwards and get the satanic messages, which you lose out on all of those now.
Yeah.
They're much easier to hide. I suppose you can rip them, right? And then use
through
an
audio player
to play it backwards, but it's really not quite the same. It's really not quite the same.
I was going to say, you know, like the Total Recorder.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Audacity,
Total Recorder.
Yeah.
Audacity, you know, any one of those will do it.
Turn around and play it backwards. But, yeah, you'd lose something in the quality, I would think.
I just remember that video clip from one of the trials where Judas Priest's Rob Helford was on the witness stand. And did you put a satanic message? No, I was breathing. I'm inhaling.
Yeah.
To sing my next lyric.
Yep. Pretty much you can hear, you know, my favorite is when you go to these conspiracy sites and they say, listen to this, you can clearly hear it. Yeah, not so much.
Well, part of the issue is that the brain wants to see patterns.
Right.
So as soon as someone tells you what to hear, you're going to hear it.
You're right? Listening for it.
Yeah.
Now, my hearing is not great anyway. I mean, I actually have pretty good hearing. The problem is I also have tinnitus, or if you prefer, tinnitus, which is that ringing in the ears. And I'm always telling people you have to speak up because that is one big job.
Boy, that's some serious puffballs.
Yeah. Cheese balls.
You missed the guy with the case of Yingling.
Oh, I did.
No, here. The one that I wanted to hijack was literally, it looked like they had at least 10 packages of King Crab Leg.
Yeah, I saw that. That would be all right.
When I was checking out of the grocery store this morning, oh, where's the party?
You're right.
They know.
I have tinnitus, and so consequently, I'm always joking to people, you have to speak up to be heard over the voices in my head.
Any good conversations going on now?
A lot of them. It really is terrible. Sometimes, you know, I can at home, my daughter will come into my room and say, are you deaf? And I say, no, it's the voices in my head.
Yeah, they're having conversation with you right
exactly.
now.
Exactly, because I have to turn my TV up. Now, for example, last night, my ears were fine. I had the TV down at like 2, and I could hear everything perfectly. This morning, I turned it on for about 15 minutes while I was getting ready. I had it up to like 22.
So
I couldn't hear.
Wait a minute. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
We got to ask, how is it having your daughter back home?
I love having my daughter home. I absolutely love having my daughter home. She just came home the other night, and she'll be here for a month, and it's great. Of course, she's only been home for a couple of days, but I don't see her in the morning because she's asleep. But I see her door is closed now because she's in it. She's in the room, right?
Uh-huh.
So that amuses me because I see that she's home.
Yeah, yeah.
That's really all I care about. My daughter is home, and that makes me happy.
Yeah, it's that catch-22 between peace in the house and the daughter's home.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that's going to be the other issue, though, for you, too, I would think right now, is because she is home, you know, you scheduling time with her because her other friends who are at other schools are going to want to get together and party and do this and get-togethers and everything else.
Yep.
And it's like, hello, me,
yeah, right.
Us?
Well, actually, I was late in Second Life last night. You wouldn't know that, of course, because you don't come there anymore.
Thank you.
Yeah, I ran the whole thing myself for 45 minutes.
Yeah, well, I've run it myself for an hour and a half because
neither of you guys
show up. Yeah. but I was actually late. I was sitting and chatting with my daughter. We were having a great time talking. I suddenly looked up at the clock, and it was like 9:45, and I went, 9:45, 9:45, and I went, uh-oh. But we were just we'd sat down like at 6, and then suddenly it was 9:45, and we were still chatting.
Well, because you're trying to catch up on so much that you used to do on a daily basis.
Exactly.
Because unfortunately, like a lot of other families, you know,
it's tougher now.
Yeah, you know, kids are always going. Yeah. And they don't take the time to how are you doing?
Right. We always made it a point as Amelia was growing up. We've always, and even before Amelia was born, Elaine and I did this. We always made it a point that we had supper together.
Mm-hmm.
We all sat at the table. And we talked to each other. And that was really kind of nice when she came home. We did that the first night. And most of the time we just spent staring at each other and smiling because it was just so wonderful to all be at the supper table together.
You know, it's a proven fact right now. And I saw this one study. Because families don't do that right now.
No, they don't.
And I was just discussing this with a friend of mine. Folks are so into, you know, quick, sit down, eat, boom, and they're off because of their busy schedules.
Yeah.
But back in the day, you know, with me growing up, we'd sit there and, you know, have dinner, and there'd be conversation going around. Well, it does two things. One, you're slowing down because you're not, you know, quick gulping the food down.
Yep.
So you're sitting there taking your time eating. You know what? The brain, it registers sooner that you're full. You don't wind up eating as much by sitting there, quick sitting down, gulping down the meal, and then all of a sudden you walk away, oh, Jesus, I'm stuffed. Yeah, because you pounded it down so fast that if you slow down and, like you say, have conversation, bam, you all of a sudden realize that you were full.
Yep. Yeah, we love that. You know, supper is family time, and get over it.
Good.
We were talking about Wordlands earlier as a neat iPhone app for translating. There's another one called the DanCam from security researcher Dan Kaminsky.
That's D-A-N-Cam.
Yeah, D-A-N from Dan Kaminsky, who's a well-known security researcher.
Yep.
He's got one for color blindness.
Nice.
Where you can tweak the colors and be able to see it better if you're colorblind. He has a friend who's colorblind, so he wrote this program for him to be able to readily and more easily discern real-world colors.
Nice.
All
nice.
Again, happening live through the camera in your phone.
All right. Here's a question from Jim from Syracuse. I'm running Windows 7. Like it a lot. 4 gig of RAM, 1 gig video, yada, yada. The problem is... I also use a PDA, no phone, just something to keep track of my appointments, phone numbers, etc. Is there a program that I can get that will allow me to sync with my system? None of the programs that I've tried will allow me to sync up with my desktop. I'm using a Sony Clié PEG N760C, which sounds like something from Starfleet. I've looked for updated drivers for both the PDA and my computer. Nothing. Any ideas? One of the options I have for syncing is Bluetooth, but I don't have a Bluetooth connection. I do have a Wi-Fi for my internet, but there isn't an option for Wi-Fi with the PDA. Any ideas, brilliant or otherwise? Hint, suggestion, guesses. As long as it doesn't involve sacrificing a chicken, I'll give it a try. You see, Jim, you're just not willing to go that distance. Thanks in advance, even though I think I'm looking for something that doesn't exist. Well,
don't those PDAs come with syncing software?
Well, they usually quite often by default, and it's usually an older version because it is older technology. It's Outlook.
Yeah, it syncs with Outlook, yeah.
And what Outlook has the calendar, it has the, you know, the scheduling in it and your contacts, and you can put in notes.
And then a lot of times you can use Google Sync to synchronize that between devices. Yeah. What model was that Clié again?
It's the Sony Clié, or Clié, I don't know how it's pronounced, PEG-N760C.
N760C, yes. The Missing Sync from Markspace Software supports the Clié.
We can put a link up to the...
Now, does it support it? How does it support it?
I'm looking.
Because he doesn't seem to have Wi-Fi.
Well, it's devices usually sync over USB cable or by Bluetooth, sometimes both.
Right.
Since he says he doesn't have Bluetooth, he must have USB.
Right. I suspect there's Bluetooth in the phone, in the PDA. But he doesn't have a Bluetooth for the computer. But you can also buy one of those as a USB connection.
Yep.
And they're not terribly expensive. You buy the USB connection, the Bluetooth and just plug it into a USB port and load the software. You know, install it just the way you normally install 100 other things. And the next thing you know, it's connecting, and you can hook your Clié to it that way.
Well, I mean,
you
might
want
to even look into something like an iTouch, something newer and a little more versatile, because, you know, the iTouch, will sync with a lot of different programs.
Right.
There's so many apps that you can get free. You know, I mean, then.
But if he's happy with his Clié or Clié, I don't really care.
Yeah, but I mean, that's old, and, you know, how much more support and how the reliability, too.
Right. Well, and the secondary consideration is how much is the Bluetooth going to cost?
Yeah.
And would he rather put that toward a new iPod Touch or whatever? And that's something.
I mean, you
that
just
only...
get an 8 gig. I mean, I've got an 8 gig that's what I use it for. Right. My appointments. I mean, I've got some of my song lists on it and that. And, you know, the schedule and all that. And it works fine. You know, the 8 gig is more than enough space that I need. You know, and it gives me plenty of room. And, I have my music on top of that. So when I'm traveling, you know, between clients, I can even play my playlist.
Right. And, of course, if you do, just like the Clié, the iPod Touch will, you know, give you reminders of appointments. And,
well, the
and
other
cool, like
one of the
too.
Other apps that I use a lot, it's called Parking Meter. So when I go to, say, a client, and I quite often, hit one of the, say, like over on the bridge in that, I'll sit there and feed the meter. Well, I pull up this app, and I can just slide it over to how much money I put into it. So I can go over to the client, and at any point, I can sit there and look at it. Oh, I still got about 20 minutes on the meter.
Right. Well, but to answer the question that Jim actually asked, the Missing Sync will do that, and Steve's got the...
The link will be up there.
Have you put the link
actually,
up?
Actually, the Missing Sync doesn't do it. It you pick your device, and, the Sony Clié is there. And then it says, we don't support that.
What?
Yeah.
Oops.
So you pick your device, and it tells you whether it supports it or not.
Great.
But I'm finding some other hits from a Google search that the Palm software may work.
Right. And again, you can buy that...
Key there is
you can buy
may.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, right, right. And the other thing you can do is check out the Bluetooth dongles. That might do it for you. But again, if none of those things work, then yeah, absolutely, you should. Oh, here we go. We've got one of our fans is going to be rolling the dice. 7-11. Did not get doubles. Does not win.
But he still gets to listen to the show.
Yeah, you should. You should.
Yeah.
Try for doubles. And according to the Clié page on Wikipedia, it came with a version of Palm Desktop. So that's how it's intended to sync.
Right, right, right. But then that requires the cable, I believe. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all our friends here. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 23 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we want to thank Chris.
We should say that we are live here at the Sam's Club in Greece on West Ridge Road.
Right. We want to thank Chris and all the other generous folks at Sam's Club for giving us this opportunity to come down. We've had lots of folks waving and having fun.
Sampling the rum balls.
Sampling the rum balls. Getting the little freebies. Very nice. Very fun to have.
At least there's no open flame permit around here.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Thank you.
Here's more evidence that that Windows Phone 7 is having serious problems gaining any market share. The ad network Chitika says that Windows Phone 7 use is outnumbered by a factor of well over 100-1 by both the iPhone and Android phones. In a blog post, the company said had this to say about Windows Phone 7. The mobile operating system designed to save Microsoft's mobile business is struggling. A month and a half after its launch, Windows Phone 7 is outnumbered by over 100-1 by both Android and iPhone based on traffic through the Chitika ad network. Over the past 3 weeks, for every one Windows Phone 7 impression we see, there are 110 Android impressions and 172 iPhone impressions. That number is remaining relatively stable with very little significant market share growth in WP7. Chitika's research is in line with plenty of other evidence. Goldman Sachs technology analyst Sarah Fryer recently wrote in a research note that Windows Phone 7, I can't remember to say it in that order, won't reach double-digit market share in 2011 at all. And even Microsoft itself has said that Windows Phone 7 sales will lag behind those of the iPhone and Android phone for years. It's clear that the Windows Phone 7 launch didn't give Microsoft the boost it wanted in mobile. The company says that it's in the mobile market for the long term, and it certainly has the money to do that, but it's not clear at all how it can succeed. For now, it's still a smartphone afterthought. We've said this many times in the past, however, don't count Microsoft out. They, Microsoft's modus operandi is always their first version stinks, their second version stinks, their third version kind of stinks. Their fourth version is okay.
Usually an even. Remember in DOS it used to be the even numbers?
Right. And I think that we can't count Microsoft out. They've got enough money to buy their way into the market and lose for as long as they need to in order to win.
That statistic also says that the iPhone is about 2-1 over Android.
Yeah, 1.5, 1.75, absolutely. Yeah. Yes, it is. Now,
Microsoft has really been blitzing TV. Inside TV shows, I've been seeing this all the time, where they make a point out of showing you the Windows logo on their Windows phone.
Yep.
When it's an iPhone or a Mac, it's just there. But they're making a point of showing you the Windows logo.
Well, they're paying a lot of money for product placement.
Yeah.
But what I think, we also have to take this whole thing with a grain of salt, because it's based on the Chitika ad network. Now, the question is, how many ads have they placed in iPhone apps versus how many ads have they placed in Android apps versus how many ads have they placed in Windows Phone 7 apps. If those are not equal numbers, then that entirely invalidates this entire report, because you can't, if it's not an apples-to-apples situation, you can't do it. You maybe do it by percentages, but even that doesn't necessarily tell you anything. So I'm not entirely certain how thrilled I am with this particular news item, but there it is for what it's worth. If you just want raw numbers, You can find things to brag about or laugh about. But
they say they do 3 billion impressions a month over 100,000 websites.
Yeah, that's exactly.
That's a lot
of sites. Again, that doesn't tell me if they have, you know, let's say that 99% of their ads come from iPhones, and yet they get 172 to 100 to 1. Well, then, honestly, they're not doing well in the iPhone world.
Right.
And reverse the numbers and make it the Android world for those of you who think I'm pounding on the iPhone. I don't really care. but so you don't know. You know, this is the thing that makes me crazy about all of these places. You get numbers that come out of nowhere. There's no... You don't know whether or not they're statistically significant.
72% of all statistics are made up on the spot.
I thought it was 94.
Including that one.
Percent. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, they'll bend and twist.
Is that true? As far as you know.
Anyway, to fit their...
Remember, the Israelis said there are lies, damned lies, and statistics.
Yep.
So that kind of thing just kind of frankly annoys me. And that's the main reason I wrote it, because I just wanted to talk about this. If you don't have a basis for where those numbers come from, those numbers mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you right now that 100% of the apps I see come on an Android phone.
Okay.
Yep.
That's absolutely true. 100% of the ads I see come on an Android phone. Why? I only have an Android phone. So I'm never going to see an ad on anything else. So is that statistic true? Yes. Is it meaningless? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of thing that just kind of makes me a little crazier than I normally
am.
It's
just something that they can use.
They do have some interesting little stats on their websites. They break down the states they're seeing different devices in based on the user agent of the device. Now, so far, I haven't been able to how to find the change the user agent on the iPad. I bet you can on an Android phone.
Change the user agent? Yes.
Because that was always the big thing about website surveys, is that a lot of, Internet Explorer is always the highest website. And that's because people running Firefox and Chrome will change their user agent to IE so that websites work.
Right.
So it's artificially skewing it in that direction.
Right. I was joking with one of my friends and saying, you never go to droidlust.com and click on any of the mobile ads. And he said, look at my phone. My phone doesn't do mobile. It announces itself as a regular desktop app. And I said, well, of course, I wouldn't ask him to do that anyway for real because, Google frowns on that at droidlust.com. They frown on that. So I would never ask anybody to do that. But I said, change your user agent. And he said, oh, yeah, I changed it at one point. Right. A lot of people changed it in the early days because you couldn't edit Google apps on a mobile browser.
Yeah.
But you can. Now you can do it. Now you can do it, so you don't have to change anything. But back in the day, you couldn't. And so if you changed your user agent, and not every phone lets you change the user agent, but if you could, then you could edit apps right from your phone, which now on a Google lets you do that now for Google Docs. Which almost obviates the need for a tablet of any sort, except that the screen is still kind of small for some of the stuff that I do. But I can edit docs. I can edit, word processing documents, spreadsheets, even presentation things like PowerPoint would do, as well as read my email. I can do all of that right out of my phone. It's very, very cool.
Convenient.
All right. Here's a question. Jane. From Red Creek, New York.
I know where that is.
Yep. Says, I had to have my Windows XP program reinstalled. Then I tried to reinstall my Create a Card CD. It would only reinstall as far as the TrueType fonts and then would go no further. Thinking there was a problem with the CD, I purchased another CD but came up with the same problem. I tried deactivating my virus protection firewall before installing, and that didn't make any difference. Not sure what else to try. Hope you can help.
One thing. Excuse me.
Dave's apparently slowly dying here, so Jane, you're going to have to hold on and listen a little more carefully.
If she used her original CD, 10-to-1 odds, it's either Service Pack 1 or Service Pack 2. If you go ahead and get up to Service Pack 3, which they recommend for Windows XP users, that's where all the updates are going to be, the last bunch of updates.
Right.
You want to do that, and any future updates after that, then try installing, because there could have been... one of the drivers or anything else, when she tried to install that software, if she's not sure what version she originally had. Because I get that all the time. Folks will bring in, say, their Dell computer. They want me to reinstall the operating system. Well, it's original Windows XP Service Pack 1. So then I have to put 2 and then get 3 on it and then do the updates. And then a lot of the other programs will then work after those service packs are on because it's looking for certain drivers.
Right.
So try that, Jane.
Yeah, try that first, and then if you don't, by all means, give us a shout back. You know the number.
We have another of our faithful listeners. Do you have a question?
No, I've just come out to say hello. It's a beautiful Saturday, salubrious, and I just came out to say hello. Now there was a rumor that somebody was going to be dressed up in an elf's outfit, giving away some rum balls. I don't see anybody in a little red.
We couldn't get Rob to wear it.
Rob says his legs aren't good enough for the green tights, but he's wrong, by the way. He's right. He would not shave his legs.
The rum balls are here,
we
though.
We felt bad, but the rum balls are right there. Please help yourself.
I am Bodan.
Oh, of course you are. I knew that.
This is our friend Bodan from Rochester, New York, who calls regularly with questions. You're welcome. Take two. Hey, they're small. But don't have the other one until about 7 o'clock tonight. Yeah, see? For those of you who didn't catch it, the look on his face.
His forehead's starting to break out in a sweat.
Yeah, exactly. You're going to be very, very happy for the rest of the afternoon. Trust me on this one.
Thank you for coming down. Thank you, sir.
Bodan, it was a joy. We'll see you again soon.
I'm shocked.
Now, I have to ask you a question first. Are you a member of Sam's Club?
I am not.
There's a free complimentary one-day pass right there for you. Now, here's the important and a gift certificate on the back for a thing. Now, I have to ask you this. Tell us about the name Bodan.
Bodan is a very common Eastern European name. I am Ukrainian, but there's also Polish people that have the name of Bodan. And even President Lech Walesa of Poland has a son named Bodan. So it is a common Eastern European name.
Very nice. Thank you very much. So you ended up listening to us because you were listening to the polka guys before us.
Yes.
And, in fact, didn't get to the radio quick enough to turn it off one day, and there we were.
I'm going to spend some money. I'm looking for an electronic gift for my good friend. We call him Bob the Counselor. He's known as Aranikoi's most generous philanthropist. In fact, I may even suggest that he consider funding and underwriting your trip to Las Vegas for the electronics show.
I love this idea.
So anyway, if Bob is listening, consider it, Counselor.
Bob, he's a counselor. Well, clearly he's a philanthropist of the highest water.
Yes.
And so, yes, we will look forward to that. Thank you, Bodan.
Have a good one, sir.
Get on his case.
Have a happy holiday.
Get on his case. All we need are 3 round-trip airfare tickets and a good hotel.
3.
4.
4.
4.
Oh, we're taking Laura Land?
I didn't realize that Dave was coming with us.
I didn't expect this.
No, we're taking Laura Land.
Laura Land knows her way around Vegas. Believe me. See? We get to Vegas and
Rob, you're on your own, dude.
People are going, Laurel Ann, how are you?
Yeah, the Bunny Ranch is about 200 miles outside of Vegas.
Right. Steve only knows one route in Vegas. That's from the airport to the Bunny Ranch and back. But we're planning on going actually into the city for the convention itself.
I was going to say, there's no other expo.
Yeah,
going on in Vegas at that time.
There is another
expo. Poindex is usually across the street.
Yeah, right.
That's what I was afraid of. With Steve, that would be the norm.
Danielle is kicking us out.
She's calling her family. Let them know that we're on soundbites.
That was Danielle. I apologize. That's our fault entirely. We
Your
messed up Danielle's
page. Your page also went over the air on Jazz 90.1.
We could be pushing the show through the store. Give me that phone.
Yeah, right. we're clearly having way too much fun here.
We could have the show going across the whole store.
That's exactly
having
right.
Having them running out of the store.
That's right. We'd clear out this place pretty quick.
She's got another announcement. No?
You should have seen. I've scared women before in my life, but not quite that much.
Boy, she backed right on up. Turned all shades of red.
I put the microphone in her face, and I thought she was going to burrow into the wall. I didn't know what was going on quite over there. Some people are microphone shy. They do not wish to speak to us on the air. That's okay. We'll deal with it anyway. Not a problem. Let's take another.
We're used to it after 21 years.
Yeah, no kidding. Hi, guy. This is Lee. Lee from Rochester, New York writes, hi, guys. I will be getting an iPhone through my company. Nice. And can get either an iPhone 3GS or an iPhone 4. I've heard all about AntennaGate and broken backgate with the iPhone 4, but understand it has significant improvements over the 3GS. Which should I choose? Unfortunately, Android is not a corporate option, just iPhones and Blackberries. Thanks, and yes, I am a member. Which do you prefer, Steve, 3GS or 4?
Well, for an adult, I would definitely say the 4. It's got a bigger screen. It's got the cameras built in, better cameras built in. The 3GS is lower quality cameras, the 4 has a faster processor in it. And for most, for the most part, the antenna gate was sort of, I don't want to say blown out of too much proportion, but it's been addressed with different cases. Most people put it in a case anyway to protect it from scuffs and scrapes. But from what we've been seeing, the iPhone 4, much faster processor than previous versions, which lets it do everything that much better. It's all thinner and lighter. And
what, you want to get on the air again?
Every generation.
No.
I know. Now she's disappointed.
Well, I get out at 3:30. I was going to go listen to you.
Okay. Well, stick around. We're here now. You can listen to us live.
You want to get on the air?
We'll tell your boss it's okay.
Do you not understand the concept? We're here live. This is it. We're on the air now.
We'll clear it with Chris. Oh, there you go.
Danielle recommends the show now. It's an unsolicited testimonial. You like to tell everybody how much you love the show?
I love the show. They're all great and representing Sam's Club over here, so we're doing good.
Wave for the camera.
Well done, Danielle. Well done.
You were just on the camera, too, you know.
Yeah, we have a camera right
here.
Yes. Oh, my God.
You know, Danielle, we do archive this. So you will, you can tell your parents and that to listen to the show off the archives.
All right, we're going to take a break because we have to revive Danielle now. She's fainted dead away. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco. Oh, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. You're listening to the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, live at Sam's Club in Greece, New York, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 42 minutes after the hour, let me give all of those of you who are not radio professionals like we are a tip. It's a lot easier to talk over the air if you actually have the microphone in your hand. Although, as most people listening to the show today learned, you don't really need that.
Well, Diane is still running around wondering.
Danielle.
Danielle.
Danielle is still running around.
Rob says, here we go 6 times, and we're not going yet.
Yeah, right. Oh, everything's weird today. Yeah, well, something's weird today. It might be Rob. Okay.
We're in delay.
Right. 4 executives at publicly traded technology companies have been arrested on charges they sold inside information about their employers, sometimes for hundreds of thousands of dollars. The executives allegedly pocketed hefty consulting fees for selling data to Primary Global, a Mountain View, California market research company. Primary Global recruits experts from a number of industries, including the technology sector, to provide information about trends that it then sells to money managers. But according to U.S. Department of Justice, one of the firm's salesmen, James Fleischman, crossed the line and sold insider information to hedge funds. The information trafficked by the 4 consultants went way beyond permissible market research, according to the U.S. Federal Bureau of Investigation. Primary Global declined to comment except to confirm that the 4 insiders had worked for it as consultants and to say that Fleischman, who had been with the company since June 2006, had now been placed on leave. A former Dell global supply manager named Daniel DeVore pleaded guilty to fraud charges on December 10th, the FBI said. He made $145,750 from Primary Global between 2007 and 2010. Really? It was not even worth $50,000 a year for insider information?
Yeah, really.
DeVore is no longer employed by Dell, said Dell spokes individual David Frink.
Duh.
Dell is committed to the highest standards of ethics and integrity, blah, blah, and we cooperate fully with law enforcement authorities, he said.
Wait a minute, I got to get my hip boots.
Yeah, as long as it doesn't involve, what were they? Capacitors.
Yeah.
DeVore also provided inside information concerning Dell suppliers, including Western Digital and Seagate, according to court filings. Fleischman was arrested Thursday on wire fraud and conspiracy charges. Also arrested Thursday were Mark Longoria, formerly a supply chain manager with Advanced Micro Devices, AMD, Walter Shimoon, a senior director of business development with Flextronics International, and Manosha Karunatilaka, as far as you know, an account manager with Taiwan Semiconductor Manufacturing Company, according to the DOJ, Department of Justice. All three are facing wire and securities fraud charges. So that's an interesting little piece of information.
Mr. Shamoon was quoted and recorded as saying, at Apple you can get fired for talking about that.
As apparently
you can get arrested for talking about that, too.
Evidently.
So he was leaking information about the iPad and the iPhone.
Yep. There's a lot of, I suppose, temptation to do that because people are so, you know, when you know something nobody else knows.
Yeah, excited.
It's very exciting, and then unless you tell somebody, nobody knows you know it.
There's a very fine line between, you know, a stock tip and insider trading.
Right, and then if you can get paid for that information, well, that's even more exciting.
Yep.
I love to know inside stuff, but so far I've never made a penny off it. But that's all right. I suppose that's probably more legal. And
we're too darn honest.
Yeah, that's the problem. I blame my parents stuck on it.
That stupid sense of morality.
Exactly. What were they thinking? I'd be so much richer today if I had no morals.
Yeah, but then you'd be looking through bars.
Well, there's that.
Well, no, that's criminals without brains end up in jail. Right.
Hopefully we've got the brains to stay out of jail. Yeah. We've got the brains to not be criminals.
No,
that's how
you
that
just
works. You
have a good lawyer.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we've got Bob the Counselor, who's going to be sending us to Vegas.
Yeah.
Shortly. So God bless you, Bob. That's a beautiful thing.
And we'll take Laurel Ann with us.
All of those of you who are friends of Bob the Counselor, thank him for us. A little peer pressure never hurt anybody.
Heck
just
no.
Four. Well, we needed four tickets and four rooms, and it'll all be good. Oh, apparently, talking to us is a bad idea. Danielle's now mopping the floors. So apparently, talking to us live on the air is not the best thing she could have possibly done. And that's too bad. Let's take another question, shall we?
Yeah.
Why not?
It's the holidays.
How do I access IRC chat for Soundbites? That's Gary from Rochester. Well, Gary, that's actually pretty easy. All you have to do is, during the show, go to our website at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. And right on the home page, you will see a link. That link is only visible during the show because during the show is the only time that the chat is live. And then you can either connect via the web itself, or if you've got an IRC program of your own, you can do it that way. But that's just all you have to do is go to our website at the proper time, and there you have it.
You will be your eyes will be scorched forever.
That's right. And then of course, you can you can join in the conversation, which sometimes actually has something to do with the show. I clicked on Malware Bytes on the Security Tango page, and then on the free download button. I could not download from this page. If I clicked on any download button, it took me to a page from some other pay software, none to Malware Bytes. I don't quite know what happened with that. There were a couple of people who told me that, but I've never had that problem.
No,
I don't know what to say about
it. Probably already infected.
Well, that's the only thing I can think of.
There's a lot of malware that will prevent you from downloading anti-malware.
Right.
Sam has run into that, too. A few folks have called, and you know, she's had to walk them through getting to the link and all that. It's, you know, just confusing for them. I don't know why, but, you know, some folks just get frustrated very easily. They just want to be able to turn the computer on, run it, and that's all they want to know.
Well, and that's the whole point behind the Chrome OS, isn't it? I mean, that's the whole idea.
Well, you know what? It's great for my business.
Well, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. Yeah. But all I can tell you is that you really need to,
download this program on another computer.
Right. Yes. Go to another machine, download the stuff there, put it on a jump drive or a CD.
CD would be better.
Yeah, because then you can't infect the jump drive. And then bring it over. Or you can call Dave's shop and get the CD from him. There's a slight charge for that.
Yep.
They are a business. But they'll do all the work of
it's
a,
all the programs
on
there. Literally, you put the CD in, it won't install them all. What it'll do is come up with a menu system that you can sit there and select it. And once you select it, it will then from there install the program onto your. And we, you know, try to keep it up to date. Because I had one person, literally, I just sold him the CD, and he goes, "Well, I got it," because he called me a little later. Well, I called it, and, you know, it wanted a new, it automatically updated. I said, so what's wrong with that? I says, yes, I burn them, you know, usually a few days ahead, you know, because I try to keep some in hand. I don't want folks sitting around waiting. So I try to load it up with the most current versions that are there. But all the programs will update. Anything that we have out there will update. And this happened to be with the one version of Malware Bytes.
Yep.
And we put the current version on, and it had some updates. And so it did it.
That's right. It's working right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
You know, even if he makes them that morning, there could be an update between that time.
Yes.
Right. Right. That happens.
I mean, Malware Bytes and Super Anti-Spyware are constantly updating, sometimes 2 times a day.
Right. I don't want to go much further without once again thanking Chris and the folks here at Sam's Club for bringing us down today. We've been here for the last 2 hours live. Hiya, Jeff. Good. How
great.
Are you?
Yeah.
And he's been very instrumental in bringing us down here today. We've had a great time talking to all our fans and doing the show from here. It was pretty nifty.
Yeah, keeping watching all the shoppers and all that and seeing the variety of stuff they have here, too.
That's exactly right. All right, let's see what we've got here. I'm looking for another question. Eddie from Greece writes, I had a Windows update come through and everything but 5 items were installed successfully. I danced the security tango every week. The error message I'm getting states code 646. Code 646. Windows update encountered an known error. Nothing has been taken off or added to my computer since updating to Windows 7. So you got error code 646.
I like it when they're known errors.
Yeah, right. Has encountered a known error. Now, it doesn't tell you what that error is, of course.
Right.
It just tells you it
knows
about it.
Error.
It's not going to tell you about it,
nah,
of course.
Nah, nah, nah.
Exactly.
And since you can't get into it, you'd have to go to another computer to look up what that known error is.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's the problem. There are a couple of things that could be causing this, of course. One is that you do have a virus. Although you did say you danced the security tango, so it may not be that. Dance it again. You know, as we were just talking about, timing is everything. You could dance the security tango at 10 by 11. You've got a virus. But also, of course, you did an update to Windows 7. That sometimes
causes an issue.
Some small problems.
Mm-hmm.
But I would dance the tango
first. Especially going from 98 and, you know, just doing the upgrade to Windows 7, yeah, there's been some issues. I'd rather see a clean install.
Well, we don't know what he had before that. We don't know what he had, but he upgraded to Windows 7 from something, and now he's getting a Windows update error. The other thing is that there have been some problems with Windows updates, and if you wait a couple of days, you may get a new update that will fix that. I don't know what error 646 is. Steve's been looking it up, but I don't think he found anything.
Yeah, it's a pretty generic message.
Yeah.
A lot of pointing fingers at Windows Update failing.
Yeah,
Windows Update does fail sometimes. Yeah, an install over
and
install.
And so that's a problem. What I would do, like we said, wait a couple of days, see what happens, try it again. If not, write to us again, and we'll tell you the same thing all over again. One of the nice things about this, doing something live like this, we don't have to actually talk to the person. So it's nice. That's good. That's good.
We can just answer the question to the best of our knowledge and move on.
Yeah, exactly right. That's the way that works. We're very delighted to be here today. This is great. This is great.
We got to remind folks, we will not be on for the next 2 weeks. Next Saturday, of course, is Easter. Easter. What?
Saturday is Easter. Welcome to the time
Christmas.
Warp.
Christmas. Well, I'm
Dave, no more rum balls. You got to drive
home. Let's do the time warp again.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you, why are you taking the next 2 weeks off? Why can't you come in on Christmas?
We could come in on Christmas, except then my wife will be after you for making it happen. Is that what you want? You go ahead. If that's what you want, I'll be there.
I wouldn't mess with her.
No, nobody messes with her. We're going to not be here Christmas. We're also not going to be here New Year's.
Well, Christmas Day, we want to let people know that it's going to be 24 hours of Christmas jazz on Christmas Day.
And how do you beat that?
You should make sure
you're tuned in all day.
Absolutely.
Because it's going to be great.
It's great
music
put in the background. You're opening presents.
That's right.
Getting having eggnog.
Having eggnog or,
you know,
two or
like
four
that,
or
you know,
13.
Things like that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Want to remind people, I know Dave's been talking about it, and I'm sorry, I'll get out of the way quick. Head to our website, register for that Stocking Full of Jazz contest ends tonight.
That's right, but you still have time to register online to do that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow night actually is when it ends, but you still have time to register online. We're done for another week. Again, let me thank Chris and all the folks at Sam's Club in Greece for putting up with our madness for a couple of hours. We're going to be back in the new year, so have a great Christmas holiday. Have a great New Year's, and we'll see you next year with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. For Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, I'm Nick Francesco. We are Soundbites on the truly magnificent, member-supported Jazz 90.1.